Brother Jamie will bring us the word of exhortation this morning.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Having the opportunity to speak from this platform, there's many fears, and unfortunately one of those was realized to me yesterday when I woke with a head cold. So I might not be my typical jovial self. Please do not take that as that I'm being more stern than normal. Strength in God and not man. Acts chapter 13, verses 16 to 19. Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it. Now for of a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he destroyed seven nations of the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment." In my King James Version, it says, "And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness." And in the center margin, it says, "Perhaps forbore or fed them as a nurse beareth or feedeth her children." God did all of this. He tolerated or put up with them. He fed them. He cared for them. He led them. He taught and protected them. For all intents and purposes, they were removed from the world around them. And the worldly influences slowly wore off. Is that not what our lives and the truth are supposed to be? To disregard the ways of this world and to focus on God our Father and be led by Him and trust in Him, that He will care for us if we follow His ways. It took 40 years to remove the Egyptian influences from the children of Israel. And that's a long time. But it does not take anywhere near as long to have those worldly influences take hold on us and to sway us away. That is why when God told his people to go and destroy a people, they were told to destroy all and not to bring anything out so that the bad influences would not corrupt them. And there are many examples of this in Scripture. But let us stay with the children of Israel in the wilderness. Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 6. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. The influences of the graven image and of false gods was still with them from Egypt. Aaron knew that that calf did not lead them out, but that is what the people wanted. So that is what he gave them. The ironic thing is that they gave up their jewelry, their fashion, for something that they knew was false. Now, would they have done that for the real God who led them out? So if we look at the 40 years in the wilderness as an example of our walk in the truth, that the influences of this world need to be removed, how do we do that? We can't go and live in the woods in a commune. That's not what God wants. Let's think about that for a moment. And no, I'm not saying that we should go and do that, so don't get worried. But those of us who are older, think for a moment about what if we did. In 1973, we went into the wilderness and followed God and learned all his ways and emerged now in 2013, some 40 years later, to see the world now. The amazement. Cordless telephones in our homes, computers, TVs the size of walls, cell phones, electric cars, bathtubs and toilets that are no longer pink or green. The advancements in technology would be incredibly amazing and fun and probably would lead some of us away, even just a little bit, for the amusement factor alone. Exodus 32, verse 6. And the people sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. Now, what about the moral changes over the past 40 years? How would we be affected by those? In 1973, to get divorced, you had to apply for one. One of the few accepted reasons was adultery. You needed to be legally separated for a time and show that you attempted to reconcile before you were granted the divorce. It was a long process that lasted longer than it took to get married. In 1985, the laws changed to state simply a breakdown of the marriage, more commonly known in the United States as irreconcilable differences. You don't have to state what they are, just that you have them. And today, you pay a fee and can be divorced in roughly a month. And now, I'm not judging anyone who is or has family members who are divorced, because as most of you know, from my parents down to my nieces and nephews, there's been 10 marriages, 6 of which ending in divorce. So there is no judgment here. Simply stating the fact that a changing world and its views will affect us in the truth if we allow it. Stats Canada stopped compiling the marriage and divorce rates mainly because the definition of marriage has changed so greatly, i.e. common law and same-sex marriage. You know that just over one-third of the population in Quebec lives in common law, which is the nation's highest. How would we react to that? How would we react to the changes in gay rights? And again, I'm not being judgmental in any way, simply stating the moral changes in our society. The gay movement started out by simply wanting equal rights and has grown to the point that their rights outweigh our religious freedoms. As I understand it, it is becoming harder and harder for a JP to refuse to marry a gay couple based on religious views or beliefs. How is that equal? But society has shifted its views to the point that if we say that we do not agree with homosexuality, we are labeled as bigoted, racist, intolerant, hate mongers, and discriminant. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That verse gets thrown around so much to justify anything. We are all equal in God's eyes. But that is only one verse. And we can't read just the one verse. We need to read at least the entire chapter. We flip over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And yes, I am bringing out just one verse, but it is relevant. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Every word, not just some. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Revelation chapter 22. Don't worry, this is the last one. I won't have you turning from front to back. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We are told far, far more than these examples, not to add to, nor to take away, that the book is complete, that it is God's word. And just because we have changing times, does not allow us to change God's word or how he tells us to follow it. I asked the older ones to think of emerging into 2013 after 40 years. But obviously that didn't happen. We lived through these changes. We have seen how slow and subtle the changes in society has affected our lives and the truth. And that shouldn't happen. We are in this world, but not of this world. We are to obey the laws of the land up until the point that they go against God's laws. And you young people are probably thinking, but Brother Jamie or Uncle Jamie, we have grown up in these times. It's different for us. You don't know what it's like. You grew up when things were different. Yes and no. Us older ones have lived through the changing world, and most of you are growing up in a world that is changing so fast it is hard to keep track. So yes, some things are very different for you guys. But the most important things are not. They're not different at all. From generation to generation, from beginning of mankind. Our feelings, our emotions, our struggles. Everyone here who has been baptized chose God over the world. We wanted more than what this world has to offer. And it is a constant struggle for all of us, young and old, not to be tempted or swayed. Times and worldly views have changed, but our feelings have not. As stated, I grew up with divorced parents, one of very few at my school, and it was very awkward and uncomfortable. Taking that into my ecclesial life, being pretty much the only divorced family in the ecclesia, was quite discouraging. It was quite a struggle. But just because it is more common and more accepted in the world does not take away the pain of a child who has divorced parents or the anger. Nor does it take away those parents' pain of having a marriage break up. The struggles of being a teenager, they have not changed. Becoming an adult, the pressures, the fears, the excitements, that has not changed. Those are the same. Wanting to fit in. Wanting to follow fashion and hairstyles and trends to look the same. Go home. Look at the photos of your parents when they were in the 70s. And you will see how, yes, they tried to follow the styles. And no, they were not pleasant. The pain and the heartache of when you break up with someone. The struggle with worldly temptations. Those things have not changed. But now, just because the world has changed, and still does not mean that we as followers of God can change. Yes, our clothes and our hairstyles, but our beliefs can't. We have to be constant and consistent. We cannot change the world around us. But we can make sure that we do not change with the world. And just because we disagree with someone or something does not mean that we are mean or horrible. If God's word states that something is wrong, it's wrong. That simple. There is no justifying, no twisting, no turning that can change that. In Acts 13, verse 8, but Elymais the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them. He opposed them in seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at him intently and said, O full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Saul did not go out and attack him. He opposed Paul, and Paul, being strengthened by his faith in God, stood up and defended his beliefs. We don't go out and protest things or people. We do not go out and attack people. But we do need to defend our beliefs and stand strong. We cannot be pleasers of men and God. I can go and I can justify any sin that I commit. But it does not make it not a sin. It is still a sin. And when I do try to justify my way out of it, I take away the chance of forgiveness. We are told to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and to try not to do it again. How many times did our Lord Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, now go and sin no more? Society has removed that part. We cannot allow that to filter into our lives. You sin, own it. Ananias and Sapphira, it wasn't just that they held back money. It was that they lied about it and they were instantly put to death. No second chances. No ability to make up for that. We will be persecuted for what we believe. We are told that. We will be tested by God. We are told that. The apostles were persecuted for their beliefs. And that is the commitment that we made. And as long as we follow God and the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and the many other examples in scriptures, we will be backed by God. He will support and care for us. He will give us strength. He will give us the courage. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 5, and he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and built another wall outside. And he repaired the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. And he set the military captains over the people, and he gathered them together in the open square of the city gate and gave them encouragement, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor before the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. If we do trust in God, and we do not add to nor take away from his word, we will find joy and happiness and prayerfully the reward in the kingdom. It's a very worldly saying, which comes from Scripture. You cannot take it with you. And that is so true. Our brother Gordon cannot take his bank account, his house, his car with him. Does not matter how good of a job he did renovating a bathroom or a kitchen. That's over. The trials and the struggles of this world have ended for him. But the things that he did in the truth, the preaching efforts, bringing people into the truth, the example that he was both the good and the bad, that is what he takes with him to judgment, where his next waking moment will be to see Jesus, his Lord, our Lord, who suffered for us. The bread and the wine before us, his body, his blood, we cannot turn this way or that way. It's right here before us. The world is behind us, leading us to sin and death. Before us is the path, the way to the kingdom. Psalm 31, verse 23-24. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye who hope in the Lord.